This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop. We're very stoked right now. We have a band in studio, or at least the singer of a band. We've been playing the hell out of them with their newest release, Nightmare Logic. You've probably heard it here on Metal Shop first. Riley, the singer, the vocalist of Power Trip.
What up, dude?
In town with Cannibal Corpse, man.
Hello, yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. And they're also physically huge.
Big dudes.
Yeah, as people.
Corpse Grinder is a large man.
They're all pretty tall guys, you know, but we're also like the shortest band in metal, probably, maybe.
That's okay. For some reason, all the true shredders are always little dudes, like Dio, Kerry King.
There's a lot of little guys.
Scott Ian's
yeah,
a little
dude. Yeah, I've met a lot of guys. Oh, man.
Yeah, he's a little
he's
guy.
He's shorter than me, and I'm pretty short. I'm like barely pushing 5'5", and then I'll meet these people and I'll be like, whoa.
Like, oh, okay, right, well.
Big riffs coming from a small dude.
Yeah.
So, congratulations. Welcome back to the Northwest, first of all.
Thanks. I love it here.
Enjoying your green freedom a little bit? We all were. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you guys, I mean, obviously you've probably known Gate Creeper for a long time. How did you get together on this Cannibal Corpse tour here?
You know, what's funny is I think I'm really only known Gate Creeper for about a year.
Okay.
It's interesting, Sean and Eric, the guitar player and the bass player, they know a lot about like old school Texas hardcore that I grew up on.
Cool.
Because I guess like when any of those bands would be around and they would try and go on tour, one of the only places they would end up is Arizona.
Yeah.
So, like, it was one of the few places they could go, so they would end up booking the shows and stuff. So they kind of knew a lot of the same people that we did, so we connected really fast, and
yeah,
we get along really well. But I've really only known them for about a year. You know, we got hit up about the tour, basically, like, right around the same... Essentially, Nick Storch, the booking agent for Obituary. I think Obituary or Exodus. One of the, yeah, I'm pretty sure Obituary and Cannibal Corpse hit us up and was like,
nice.
Here's these two tours. Do you want to do them? Here's the setup. And you know, he was like, if you do well on this Obituary tour, then you'll do direct support for Cannibal Corpse. And we're like, yeah, hell yeah.
Yes.
You know, how do you say no to that?
Exactly.
Yeah, you were toured with Obituary and Exodus. That's another huge tour.
Yeah, back to back, which is just, you know, I mean... Where do you go from here? You
know, I know, that's
kinda awesome.
Everything kind of seems like maybe it's downhill from here. No
way. You guys will be headlining next time.
I know. We'll see. Yeah, it'll be something interesting like that. You know, that's going to be a surreal thing when the day comes where, like, we ask some band that, like, we really like, you know, we're approaching that place that we ask them to come on tour with us.
Give someone else a shot.
Older,
yeah.
I guess. Not give them a shot. I mean, like, get, like, well, I guess older guys like it'd be like if we has like Negative Approach to go on tour with us,
yeah,
or something like that, you know, like that's a band that still does really well, but you know, they kind of go out, they play their old record, you know, like we could be out on like a headlining tour or something because we have a new record out, and like Negative Approach could be the support.
Well, here's an example, like Knocked Loose just is bringing Terror on tour with them. You would think that Terror would headline, but because Knocked Loose has all the kids that come out for them,
right, they've got a lot of hype right now.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Well, considering the fact that the last time I actually saw Power Trip live, this was a few years back, it was at West Seattle Legion Hall with Zabulba.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a step up. I mean, you guys, like, this year, 2017 has been a landmark year for your band. You put out Nightmare Logic, and it seems like everything has just been blowing up. I've seen you guys, you won some awards with, was it Loudwire?
Loudwire.
You won a Loudwire Best Song Award.
Nice.
You get to perform live with Jamie
Metal
Johnson.
Song of the Year, according to, yeah.
Loudwire?
People. It was a really vague award thing. truth be told, I had never really heard of Loudwire until we got nominated for it. But the coolest part about our award was, Every other one was vote based, and they're like, oh, it's, you know, it's based on the you know, you go on this website and you fill out this ballot and stuff like that, and that's right. How the winners were that got picked, except for our award. The best song of the year was the day they nominated. They announced the nominations for all the nominees, which were us, Dragon Force, Paul Bear, Municipal Waste, Avenged Sevenfold, Obituary.
Some pretty big bands.
Well, you beat up some heavy hitters.
I'm missing some good ones, right? Like, yeah. But what they did was they started counting streams on Apple Music that day that they from the moment that they announced it. So from the moment they announced it to where they closed the polls, that song was actually the most streamed song on Apple Music.
Interesting.
So that's how we won the award, which actually, you know, for me,
it's legit.
It didn't even matter anymore how many people read Loudwire or clicked a website
and
voted a button. Yeah, it was based on like a real world statistic. Like, people were voting whether they knew it or not. They threw, like, you know, that's just like cold hard data right there, and that's so cool to me.
Totally, man.
You know, that was that brought a lot of value into an otherwise kind of arbitrary.
Yeah, because otherwise it would just be like a couple dudes in a room picking it out themselves.
Well, you know, that most of it was like
ladies or whatever.
You know, even my brother hacked it. My brother's a good little like computer programmer guy, but basically he had this thing where it was like you follow a shortcut, and there was just a button that said vote, and as soon as you pressed it, it voted for us in any category that we were in.
Okay,
you know, so he just kind of did a little. So, you know, there's ways to hack that kind of stuff. And
I'm sure it's happening a lot, though.
Sure, there are, you know, I won't say who, but maybe someone had the song just looping on their phone for 3 months or something like that and had it on mute. It was just, you sit there and even something like that, it's like, well, we still had more streams than...
Yeah.
Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
Dragon Force. Yeah, exactly.
So.
And now you guys get to get involved with the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah, good transition. Nice.
Thank you.
I'm like the resident wrestling nerd of Metal Shop, mm-hmm. and I was watching... So this weekend, along with Survivor Series, WWE is putting on an event called NXT TakeOver Survivor Series, and pretty cool to see that Power Trip was chosen as the original theme song. Your song Executioner's Tax has been chosen as the theme song for NXT, so tell me a little bit about what the process was like of being the theme song for a pro wrestling event.
We've just got, you know, this really great manager, Armani, who just does, like, busts his butt to get it. Wait, I can say ass, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, you know.
He busts his ass.
But he busts his ass. And so, they've been focusing on a lot of really cool underground bands lately. You know,
like
Code Orange being two, you know, awesome. Bands that are not only friends of ours, but we've toured with them, and you know, we really do kind of all collectively talk and sort of view each other as sort of like the three bands really trying to bring this certain, you know,
push it
scene
up. Yeah.
And that we like grew up in and bring it to like a bigger level or whatever. And so, you know, whatever, these manager guys, they've got their hookups and everything. And so they just said, now, okay, so my wrestling history is I was a rabid wrestling fan from about fifth to eighth grade, which was basically like
same here. The
bulk of the Attitude Era. You know, like my favorite wrestling match was Hell in a Cell 98,
amen.
Obviously.
Yeah, Mankind Undertaker, man.
Best of all time.
My friend had like an illegal cable box, so we got to watch that. And watching that live was just like...
Is he dead?
Like,
he's got a family,
dude.
I got a little worried there. Got a little weepy.
There's been like a world disasters that have like gone down where I'm like that are like has been a impactful in my childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Some really crazy wish where I was just like couldn't believe it as much as that.
Yeah.
But so that was
it hit you
and,
harder.
You know, my parents would, you know, like if I got in trouble in school, it was like no wrestling this week, and it was
no!
like I was like I'd rather die. So that was my time with it. But basically, once like WCW ended, once Stone Cold left, and yeah. you know, like Mick Foley really kind of like bowed out, and but kind of when like Cena and Angle came
oh, yeah,
together, totally. I was just like these guys are homers. You know, a lot of the like post 9/11 patriotism stuff just kind of
The John Cena regime was a little much for me, but
that totally lost me. But anyway, so like, but I am familiar enough. I keep a peripheral kind of knowledge on like most cultures, so I know what NXT is, which I come to understand is like their sort of junior league.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
Where they that's where they bring
it's
up
like the minor league,
the
guy,
the triple A team.
League, right, yeah. It was the stuff they would do like on Saturdays and mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 90s, right?
Yep.
They would do like a Saturday Nitro or whatever.
Yep.
So when is that airing, Kevin? When is that?
It's Saturday night at 5
Saturday,
p.m. Pacific.
Right? Right.
Are you guys going to be able to watch that somewhere, wherever you are at?
WWE Network, $9.99 a month.
We should get like a free thing because we've
got,
we've got like Sling TV, like shout out Sling TV, free marketing.
I think you need to give I think you need to give Triple H a call.
Hey, I wish I had his number or something.
That's the story I was hoping for.
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd be like,
I'm going to call our manager and yell at him and be like, why can't you?
How'd you get on the stream?
How'd you get on the radio? Well, Vince McMahon called me and was like, hey, I need this Power Trip.
I really like your record.
The only wrestler I've gotten to meet thus far was Chris Jericho.
Oh, nice.
I actually met him before the Loudwire thing. He was at the we did this tour with Def Heaven, Anthrax, and Lamb of God,
yep.
and he came out, and he was really nice. I went up to him and I was like, "Hey, man, you know, like I won't bother you too hard, but I just want you to know that like every day after school, I would come home and put my little brother in the Walls of Jericho, and like." There's still like deep seated resentment in my family because of, you know, like moments like that.
So thanks, man.
Thank you for
thanks
that.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Did he get a kick out of it?
Yeah, yeah. He laughed, which I was like, cool. He took my joke pretty well. Like,
good.
You know, but I had another one that which did not go well, which Randy Johnson showed up.
Former Mariner.
The Mariners pitcher?
Former Mariner pitcher.
Wasn't he also an Astro?
He was also a Diamondback.
That's what it was.
You know what? I think actually he may have ended his career as an Astro.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he was a Mariner first, then a Diamondback, then an Astro.
Oh, dude, he was a hero here, man.
Right? I mean, I think everybody was – he was really well-liked as a person, right? He was really quiet or whatever.
Yeah.
But I go, man, if I knew you were going to be here – I would have had you sign my dead pigeon.
Oh,
like he was like, what? And I was like, guy, like, just you know.
I'm just kidding, man. It's a joke.
Remember when you hit that dead pigeon?
Remember when you blew up that bird?
Just blew that
100 miles an hour.
That viral video.
I don't. He's
like, get away.
Maybe
he's
heard that one. Yeah, I got a picture with him.
He's like, stop punishing me.
Yeah, but I thought that was a good one. You know, just like. The mental thought of like a guy with like a Sharpie and like a bag of like feathers and just like blood being like no
sign it bro
I dog drew the I don't know what a Northwestern accent is, but like, you know, like I dug through the trash for like 3 hours to find that little bird there, number one, there we go.
Awesome.
And yes, yeah, but he was actually nice. You know, he was cool.
That's right.
But like the wrestling thing, basically, just they've been taking an interest in some of the younger bands, which is really,
that's really cool.
And
you think they have like one guy working in the back that's like actually was a hardcore kid or something?
Yeah, for sure. And that's how it always is, which is what I love. I love when someone takes their kind of like punk DIY ethic
like,
that they grew up
on. Here's how
on
I can help.
Plays it. Oh, yeah.
Start totally. Giving back a little bit.
Totally. I somebody told me his name, but I can't remember it at the moment.
We need to talk to that guy.
I'm sure I can get it for you.
That we should.
up, we're back here with Riley from Power Trip. They played technically last night at a Numo's sold out show with Gate Creeper and Cannibal Corpse.
It was so bad.
How terrible was that show? Retrocasting.
Oh, dude, you fell off the stage.
Don't do that.
Dude, no.
You do not. Don't.
You better knock on wood, dude.
What you just did was jinx me because I have fallen off of a stage.
Are you serious?
But the thing is, I caught you. I have a chronic. Oh, that was beautiful.
Dope. Good yeah. move, Kevin. Yeah, good move. Yeah.
That was my wrestling skills.
And you laid me back down so gently, and then it was weird
and
because
gave you a kiss on the forehead.
Because the way that you laid me down actually popped my spine like right back into place, like. Like where I had all these problems, I feel better than ever.
Awesome, you're welcome.
Great. Yeah. You fell off stage?
Thank you for jinxing.
What happened? Like dude, tell
yeah,
us about
so
that.
Yeah, so about like 4 years ago, 5 years ago or something like that, this venue.
Because that's embarrassing.
Called the Acheron in Brooklyn. I tripped backwards over the monitor.
Oh, no.
And as I was falling, and it was a very small, narrow room, but it was a tall stage.
Oh.
Probably about...
So you had a decent little... trip
with
there.
The monitor, I would say it was like even higher than like this table or something. Yeah. So it was like a good like 3.5 foot fall or something, 4 foot fall.
Would you have called
it
a power trip?
I was falling. I was falling. So f*** you, man.
sorry, I had to.
I fell for so long that I like wrapped my head up and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna hit my head, right?
So you had
enough
time. But
what happened was is all my weight went right onto the corner of the step leading up to the stage. And I just impaled myself like, right in the spine, like my lower spine. I came in at an angle. And so basically like just like an angle, like a diagonalish kind of
like
angle.
Like a little diamond.
Going right into my like spine and my kidney and stuff. And I bounced off of it and I like rolled over and the band just sort of saw me fall into the black. They weren't sure what happened, but
right.
I thought I was gonna lose control of all my bodily functions and then just pass out. You know, like
you gotta take you to the ER.
All ends and everything. No, something. It got basically blacked out from that, from the pain. Like it was white hot pain. It was the most pain I've ever been in my entire life. By far the worst. It was really rough and. You know, I had to wipe my ass reaching through my legs.
Ah,
you know,
because you couldn't
for
move
for like a month after that because I couldn't move left or right.
Did you break your ribs
and
or something?
No, it was all in my lower back, but I didn't have insurance or anything. But since it was my spine and everything, you know, I definitely like herniated discs, if not even worse. And I still have a lot of really chronic back pain with all that. But to get to the point, like I fell off the stage. I had this really, really bad fall. You know, at the end of it, my friends were like, I limped my way through the set somehow. I was trying to like yell into the mic and nothing was coming out. I'm pretty sure I just kind of squeaked, you know, like a mouse, you know.
Well, I'm glad I was able to catch you this time, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad you were caught.
Thank you.
So we were talking a little bit about like, I mean, Kevin and I came from like a little bit more of an underground hardcore punk scene. You guys did too. And now you're obviously taking that next big move, that step. You were talking about playing with Obituary and Exodus and Lamb of God and
Anthrax.
Corpse. Yeah. So what's that like, man? And like, do you have any advice for younger kids? Obviously, you were talking about being able to play more with your friends and like being that, I don't know, what would you call that, big three of the next movement or something like that? I don't, you know? It's a hard thing to discuss, but we all grew up going to Legion Halls and like punk venues, garage shows, stuff like that.
I don't know. I think this is kind of, and I don't want to sound pretentious, isn't the word I'm looking for, but I think we're looking at something that hasn't really happened before. We're looking at this kind of really very odd place for aggressive music right now, where there's these bands that are established. They're not getting any younger. And there's going to be a point where more and more of them become physically incapable of playing.
That's true.
And is aggressive music just going to die off? Or is it going to forever be like really like wimpy the way that we think of it? Like, you know, deathcore bands or Warped Tour screamo bands or whatever.
Who's going to be the next movement or whatever?
You know, like what's going to stick around or is it just going to fade away? You know, my friends and I talk a lot about how we think that people want guitar music to come back. And, you know, like so maybe people are starting to look for a heavy band. Like, you know, I've always said about Power Trip that if you like heavy music in any form and you're put in a room with our band, you'll leave, and the worst thing you'll say is that that band didn't suck.
So all right.
You'll be like, you know,
they're right.
They're like, they're all right. They didn't suck. You know, like,
I could get into it.
Yeah, that's really, I think that's like the worst thing. You know, there's people who think that we do suck, and you're not gonna please everybody, but you know, we want to be a band that's got, if you just like heavy music, we try to take everything that is good and memorable and cathartic about it,
yeah,
and deliver that to people, you know.
I mean, because they said
night in and night out on tour. When we do
in the 90s, it was a little rough for like metal, and hardcore was doing okay, I guess, arguably, and then a few bands got to carry it, but that was before the internet and you could kind of find whatever you want. So it's almost as if people are looking for more like real stuff now, like even with the NXT thing, where they're looking for like legit bigger underground bands that have like got their hard work under the belt, you know, that have actually put the work and the time in, and now it's finally actually looking like it's starting to come to fruition for a lot of you guys, including Power Trip.
Yeah, you know, to me, the 90s was just those guys had money. They sold records, and they were able to, you know, look, man, I don't want much. I want to be able to live, like, within the means of the people that I went to high school with. I want to live like a normal 30-year-old person,
right?
You know, yeah, my lifestyle is different, but you know, you think of it this way, like if an offshoreman is you know, gone for 3 months and then home for three, you know, I want it to be kind of the same way. I want to be able to have insurance and own property, make enough
money. And come
money,
back with a
know?
Little bit of money. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, not too much.
That's what people don't really grasp, is they suddenly when an artist wants a paycheck or something like that, or like takes money from a company with a sponsorship or something, we're suddenly the worst people in the world, where it's like, you know what? First off, I guarantee you, your favorite band that is over the age of 35 takes money in some kind of way that like keeps them from continuing, you know, like
yeah,
you know, to unless someone has compromised themselves in some way. There's no like perfect punk ideal to live up to, and to me anyway,
or,
you know,
or like
I, in a lot of ways I feel like it's
sponsored
like
by Jaeger. You know?
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, that's maybe a bad
example.
That
was true, but that's amazing.
Yeah,
great.
Carl from Earth Crisis wearing a Jägermeister t-shirt.
You know, we're sponsored by Monster, and they really put a lot of support behind us, so.
Nice.
Good.
Can't hate on it. The thing is that's because people have to start doing that because people aren't buying the music, so.
Yeah.
You know, we have to find other avenues. I would love to be able to keep doing this. You know, it's like we go out there and we play hard for 30, 45 minutes a day, and we do things like come out here and do radio interviews and
yep.
stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was having a discussion with another friend. It's like, you know, on these sort of mid levels where it's like you have a little bit of success, but you're not exactly like this pampered sort of legacy type of band where, you know, you're not Metallica getting taken care
yeah,
of, getting
you're not
shoved
a Slayer,
around,
even exactly.
Volbeat or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
who I got a lot of respect for, but like, you know, those guys. Look at like a basketball player who goes out and, you know, plays 30 minutes and then gets to see a doctor and has someone
right.
look at him. They stay in like a four-star hotel, and it's like, I'm lucky if I can sleep in a bed.
Yeah, exactly.
And
or
yeah,
not on
sure,
the floor.
We don't bring the kind of revenue that they do, but like, you know, people have such a misconception on how difficult and how shot the music industry is these days. And a lot of guys are saying, and I don't mean to be a baby, I'm grateful for everything that's happening, but
it's like, just being realistic.
Like, and you know what? Like, you know, anyone listening, it's like, if you really, really care about Power Trip, then like, and you can't make the shows, then please buy the records, or
buy a t-shirt
buy a
online,
t-shirt,
yeah.
or just like, you know, find a way to to support the band because, like, I only have so many years left of this in me until, look, I don't get universal health care in Texas. And I know because of that fall that I need
back surgery. You need something.
I need real deal. Like, you know, I do yoga. I try to take care of myself. But I haven't had a doctor look at it because I can't afford it. If I want to get an MRI without insurance,
that's thousands.
$3,000. I'm on a waiting list. I'm on three waiting lists, and it's been months on each of them, and I haven't gotten a call yet. And I've checked up on them. I'm still on them.
You're still probably hurting from it too.
I hurt every day of my life, man, and I just deal with it. And you know, I go up there and I give it everything I got every night, and
it's probably not helping. But you got to do it, man, because that's your thing, man.
I'm starting to sound like I'm complaining. It's not fun because, you know, like, honestly, once you get the adrenaline going, you stop caring and you don't have a care in the world. And it's a job, and I love my job. I just wish my job maybe had some benefits.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people out there.
You know, my job maybe had some, guaranteed income. You know, it's like there's countries in Europe that operate on this. That, like, if you are a successful enough band, that you don't have to be on tour all the time.
Canada does.
You have to do a certain. Canada does it too.
Yeah.
You give a certain amount back to the government or whatever, and you'll still get a living wage during those months that you're on tour. I can't even claim unemployment when I'm off tour, and we pay taxes now, like, as a band. You know, since we started making money, we do all of this legitimately. Like,
oh, you got to.
This sounds sellout and stupid.
No, it's business because, too, man. There's a lot of money floating around.
I came up in punk and all this stuff, and it's like, I wish I would have, like, you know, realized that you could still be a punk and have credit too, you know, like.
No, that's an oxymoron, dude.
It is not.
I'm just saying, punks having credit.
I mention friends all the time. I got plenty of friends who have bought in, and I tell them all the time, I would trade places with you guys in a heartbeat, and they say the same thing to me, and.
Right.
You know, and I get the grass is always greener kind of thing, but it's...
I mean, I don't feel like you're complaining, dude. I guarantee you there are a lot of people listening right now who are probably just nodding their heads going, yep, in the same boat, and they don't get to, you know, tour around. They don't have any health insurance. They got injuries they're living with, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But you're putting it out there. You did it doing what you want to do, and you're still doing it, so it's commendable.
I had something that I only realized really recently that kind of was somewhat of an epiphany to me was I think our second drummer, Marcus, had just left the band, and Chris Ulsh, who plays drums now and is now been the longest running member. We're basically all original members, sans Chris, but he's been with the band the longest. So this is in the early years of the band. We've maybe only done a couple tours. I think we had just dropped Hammer of Doubt, and it was starting to get a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
But I was looking at jobs because I was getting close to graduating college, and my degree was in technical writing, and I was looking at writing jobs and stuff like that, and I found this really interesting job, my dream job at the time, because I didn't expect anything from the band. My goal with the band was to maybe see Europe and go see a couple other parts of the world, because you can do that with a hardcore band. If you write a few good songs, you know, you can go and you can do these cool things and see the world, and that's what's great about hardcore.
To see you
can
fill
put
up
the bands
shows.
Down, you can pick them back up again in whatever fashion, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to me, you know, the as much as, like, sort of being like a full-time musician was a dream, I never really bought into that dream, but it was an editor in chief. Well, I don't believe it was editor in chief, but it was a very high level, very well paying editing job for an American English magazine in Portugal. And what they wanted wanted someone who understood American English was their first language and really wanted to have a kind of American English dialect throughout their entire magazine. And I started the interview process, and I got really far into it. And they were like, they basically told me what they're gonna pay me, and they're gonna do all this, that, and the.
So they're about to offer you a job.
I'm wasting time. They're gonna offer me a job. last second, this guy slides his resume in, just so happens Portuguese American.
Oh,
because well, hey. Because I meant to, what I was getting to add it was is that I had learned Spanish from like kindergarten to 12th grade, and even though I wasn't fluent, I was pretty good at it, and like I was, you know, they asked me and I was like, you know what, even though it's different, I'm pretty confident I could learn
you
Portuguese
can pick it up, yeah.
pretty quickly. And you're saying it's an American English magazine. It's like I don't need to show up on the first day and know any Portuguese. These people should be able to speak English to me anyway. But that was a very big point where I was asking myself, am I going to take this job or am I going to go on this tour? I think it was actually the first time we ever went on tour was Zabalba. I think it was Zabalba and Alpha and Omega, which would have been 2012, which also would have been the same year that I fell off that stage and hurt my back.
Oh, damn.
So
you didn't take it. You went on tour.
I ended up not having the choice.
Oh yeah,
but
you went on tour anyway.
I went on tour anyway, and then nearly died.
We're glad you're still here, man. still raging it.
So this tour is happening now. Cannibal Corpse. What's next for you guys?
What's coming up?
What's 2018 look like for Power Trip?
2018 is going to be.
I know you got
a lot more of this.
I know you got info.
January we've got a Persistence tour in Europe, which is 10 days with Hatebreed, Terror, Madball, us, Broken Teeth.
Damn, dude!
I think Born from Pain. Maybe some other bands are doing it, like one or two other bands.
That's a big tour.
It is a big tour. They do it. They do it every year, and they've done it every year in Europe in January for like. I think this is like the 15th one or something.
Wow,
like
okay.
But it started off as a Hatebreed thing, obviously, and it's changed up. But it's always been kind of a hardcore tour. I think Suicidal did it last year. Our friends at Misery did it. But this year, we're finally getting to do it, which is just going to be a 10-day bender for me, which will be great because it's like perfect. It's perfect.
It's a perfect length,
you get
too.
There. You know, like you sleep, you party all night, you sleep, you know, you wake up and your like early morning workout is like playing a show. And
yeah, you start all over again.
That's
yeah.
when your day begins. And then you're up all night in whatever city you're in and you're just running around. And, you know, we've done a couple tours with Tear. We're good with them. And the Madball dudes, we've played some shows with them. They're cool. I recently got to meet Jamie because we did that Motorhead cover at Loudwire with him. And he was awesome. So, like, I think this is just going to be insanity for 10 days. We just announced an outrageously long tour. We'll go back to Europe. I think it starts March 11th, doing direct support to Trivium for like 7 weeks.
Okay.
So damn, dude.
It's a big one.
Very, very long tour. And it is a big one. And
dude, you guys are going to steal so many Trivium fans. It's going to be awesome.
Really?
Oh, dude, absolutely. I guarantee it.
Honestly, I've never listened to them. And
I mean, I've never been a big fan, but they're
I couldn't even tell you what they sound like. I just know that
they're like
huge. Metalcore. That's what everyone says, I've heard it's like gotten softer over time.
Sure.
Or you know what? I don't even care because I was the same way with Lamb of God, and I went in with an open mind and had a blast because I left like thinking, damn, who cares what anybody thinks about their records? Lamb of God kicks ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like they just are a good band.
Dude, and they've been through some
crazy
stuff.
And I guess maybe that Trivium guy has been too.
Matt Heafy.
Mr. Matt. We've talked to Matt a couple times.
So I guess Matt's a big fan, and so he really wanted us on the tour. So.
Dude, and cool. like we've interviewed
That's
him a couple times. He always.
Support.
They know. They know what's up.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of cool with some of these, at least. So there's like there is this like sort of middle ground of like, not quite like the first or second generation, but there are these guys like, you know, there's Trivium, there's
stuff that was big in like the early 2000s.
There's Volbeat, you know, like who else? Like I guess of like Lamb of God being another one.
Right. Killswitch Engage.
Killswitch
Engage.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, dude, even Avenged Sevenfold.
A lot of those guys. See, I don't know much about them, but what I mean is like I know all those other bands that you're mentioning. A lot of those guys keep up with.
Yeah.
You know, they know who we are. They know who Turnstile is. Or I think that's cool. They're becoming a big help in bridging that gap and being like, hey. Guy in, you know, older band that brought me up.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Check out this band. And that's good. I'm glad that those guys. are out there to do stuff like that for us. But
I mean, last time we saw Mike from Killswitch, he was wearing a Gorilla Biscuits shirt.
Yeah, but, you know, who's too surprised, you know, like...
Yeah, I know.
Gorilla Biscuits are Gorilla Biscuits. So that record, true. That record is, like, multi-platinum or something like that, you know, like, so... But you're right. It's cool seeing punk in non... Or unexpected places, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well,
I forgot what the hell that question was that we ended
what, into. Okay, so do you
thing,
have anything,
was,
so like...
Oh, but we were doing that, so yeah, we do that really long Trivium tour, but I should add this. Venom Prison is opening
it. The band is awesome.
Yeah, they're cool. We play with them in Cardiff, and they're really sweet people, and I'm really excited to kind of like, shit, we're going to be on a bus with them. So we're doing 7 long weeks with Trivium, direct support, Venom Prison opening up, and the UK Code Orange drums on for 5 shows. Nice. We're gonna come home. That'll be like the end of April, basically, and then from there we're gonna do another headliner. But we're gonna kind of take it back and keep it weird.
Cool.
And go back to some of more of our like hardcore punk roots.
Got anybody thinking about talking to?
I can't really say anything right now.
I was trying to get that.
Yeah,
out
nice
here.
Try, buddy. But damn. Yeah, you know, like I think
had a try.
It will be bands people want to see.
Yeah,
will be very like wide range. You know, like it's
well, something for everyone.
You know, we've done these big metal tours. We want to still, you know, show love to like all the people that like everything that we do or that came up seeing us and they might, you know, be into other stuff. Now it's like, let's give them a reason. Like, okay, so, you know, one band that we're huge fans of that we asked but couldn't do it was Drab Majesty.
Okay. Oh, that band's awesome.
You know, Deb is like a great, wonderful human being. You know, we text all the time and super supportive of each other. And it was great because I didn't know that. I was a fan of their music and they were a fan of ours and I had no idea. You know, it's one of those things where you connect with people and you're like, whoa, really? You like
didn't
my
even
band?
Know. Yeah.
You know? That's awesome. I had that at Loudwire with Brian Posehn, which was cool.
What? That rules.
Oh, who else?
That guy's awesome.
Royal Headache from Australia was another band where I had that kind of thing go down. And that's just a cool feeling is when you come across a band where you're like, wow, I really enjoy your music or your work or whatever, and they know who you are. That's one of the more fulfilling things. But
it's like not even necessarily going back to your roots or whatever, but doing that like back, bringing your friends back. Dude, that's going to do nothing but help you, man.
Yeah, totally.
And then you're going to get that next offer too, and it's just going to get better and better, man. I'm really, really stoked. We've been watching the progress of your band for the last few years.
Yeah, you
man.
Guys know your stuff.
So we appreciate you coming up, dude. It's been,
no, I appreciate
it's been a
people
pleasure.
Who don't just come in and Google some questions.
So you're in the Power Trips.
Yeah. So tell us what it's like being from Texas.
Yeah, I'd be like.
So you're a rocker or a metaler?
Did you vote for Donald Trump?
Oh God! So that's where we start pissing people off. It's exactly. Such a.
Let's go. Let's spend the last like few seconds that we have.
You know, I'm fine with that because you're from Texas and you know you're clearly like more in tune with like. The other side of that aisle.
Well, you know what? It's too bad that any Proud Boys who may listen to this show will have just missed us by mere hours because I would love for them to come say hello.
Yeah, there's
at
some
the show tonight,
some of those down in the south end
there,
here in the northwest.
No,
there's
no,
a few. I mean, are there?
Let's see. I think they're boogeymen. I don't think they fucking exist. Excuse me.
No, you're
got through another.
They don't want
to. Those not so bad.
No, you're good.
But
we don't. They don't want to like out themselves too hard and like stand up and because they just keep getting.
Dude, I just don't think they exist.
There was an incident I just read yesterday. There was at the Astoria Club up in Vancouver, BC. One of the Proud Boys was there with a bunch of his friends and got jumped by like 5 dudes in the bathroom, and then it turned into a. Oh, well, you guys can't, like, attack us. No, like, dude, this is...
I know the whole story.
Punk
look,
and
that's,
hardcore.
That's what made me say something about it in the first place was because... I'll leave her name out of it because people have been giving her...
Yeah.
The whole thing is, like, she's a friend of mine. She has been for years, and I think that what happened to her BS. And to be, you know, like, you don't like it, go to another bar. You know, like, it's not, like...
Yeah,
you know,
they were like, call the cops yourself.
Go somewhere else.
You're not like, welcome here, yeah.
Dude, but you know, a bar is a clubhouse. It ain't obligated to do a damn thing for you. They don't even have to serve you if they don't want to.
Exactly. It says right on the sign, right by the bar, right by the door.
You don't like it? Get out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I understand all inclusivity or anything. It's like there's no way that you could tell me that it's okay to not serve someone based on, you know, their race or
race, gender,
ethnicity, creed, obvious stuff like that. But it's like, you know, if you're going to be in there spouting hate about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's multiple people saying that these guys were out there antagonizing people. So that I felt the need to say something. I feel like they're an easy target, but I also feel like, you know,
they are, but they make themselves easy.
I kind of think it's funny. Like, I think that there's sort of like this very like nebulous thing, sort of like the way the right wing views like the like Antifa,
right?
Antifa. Ooh, it's really scary.
Antifa.
It's like, nah, man. It's just a bunch of, like, it's really, like, there aren't, like, secret underground meetings or anything. It's like, oh, it's going down today. It's like, all right, I'm going to go grab my ski mask. I'm going to go bust some shit up because these conservatives. Three.
He's got a count. We got to get a chalkboard in. You're good, dude. It doesn't matter.
This is my first time. This is my first.
Hey, well, we're glad you're here.
First big radio interview. I got to count how many times I get bleeped out at least.
It's more than three, I tell you that.
It is.
But that's okay.
Oh, shh.
Well, either way, we appreciate you, man, standing up, and we appreciate you putting out the awesome music that you do, and we hope that Power Trip has a killer end of 2017.
Yeah, dude.
Man,
congratulations.
Thanks for saving my life last night.
Oh, absolutely.
And making me breakfast this morning.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Tender cuddles, man. You know.
The thing you did with the omelet, like, you're gonna just gonna, I don't know. Did you get that from a YouTube video?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, send me the link, please.
Yeah, we got you.
It was killer.
Really good.
So, year-end 2017 list of top records of the year, I guarantee Power Trip's going to be in there for Metal Shop at least, and we'll let you know what number you get.
Yeah.
And
we'll make you another omelet.
Whatever it is, it'll be behind Impaler's Cellar Dweller.
All right.
That's all I'm going to say about
that. Keep that in mind.
Riley from Power Trip here on Metal Shop, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
See you again soon. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.